This episode is a part two of the Final Fantasy retrospective. So, if you haven't watched part one, please go back and watch it. Otherwise, you're going to be completely lost. Thank you. So, Final Fantasy V.
Back to the program again!
Released December 6, 1992, Super Famicom was not released in the West, or at least not in the US, until the PlayStation 1. This is the game with X-Death, it's the return of the job system, and actually had a separate form of experience called ABP, which sounds like a power company. So which like was a, introduced for the job level advancement.
So, sounds like somebody got dyslexic on their police notification scanner thing.
APB?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I had to slow it down and go ABP. But the game is in a medieval fantasy because I think up to 6 is where they started adding in more futuristic things. Because 6 was kind of steampunky. But it centers around a group of 4 strangers brought together by circumstance to save the crystals, again, that have mysteriously begun shattering. That one's new. The one behind the phenomenon is the antagonist, X-Death, who was a tree.
It's been forever since I even... I never beat the game. I never played more than a couple hours of it, so I'm trying to remember all of this.
Yeah. Zez, go Google. Because I don't even know how to explain X-Death's backstory. But it was fucking weird. But basically,
he doesn't look like a tree. Looks like Shovel Knight.
No. He looks like a person. But before he was a person, he was a fucking tree, if I remember right. That's the weird part.
Well, you fight him inside a tree, it looks like.
I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry.
Okay, this is from the wiki. Let's see.
Looks like a giant snake tree.
No, he had a tree form. That's what it was. And I'm just like, okay. What the fuck? Why is he a tree now? Why? Oh,
God. I am Groot. Okay, I see what you're talking about now. Okay, yes. Weird. Okay, yeah. I gotta play through this on stream soon.
That was one of those games. This was the first game to where I learned what became, or basically one of my friends told me, a saying that I still hold true with Japan. Welcome to Japan, where everybody turns left, some people still turn right instead. We go, fuck it, we're going up. They will find a way to go the weirdest fucking direction ever, because they were a very isolationist nation for so fucking long that there wasn't that much transfer of culture of ideals, so we have no frame of reference for half the shit they're referencing. Okay. Like for a good example of that, to where Jinx, right, from Pokemon was actually based off of a Japanese demon, dark skinned, big lips, icy powers.
Wasn't it also something to do with a trend that the young girls were doing?
No. Gangoro is completely different. Gangoro is where they do that to mimic 90s hip-hop artists. Like TLC, that sort of stuff. Because they found them beautiful and attractive, and they're like, I want to be like that, so they did it. It's kind of like blackface, but as a way of respect and admiring the beauty. So they want to emulate it. But because blackface is not a good thing here, and Jinx looks like blackface, they turned her purple because, yes, technically it was self-censorship, but it's not a bad thing because they were changing it to where they got the original intent of wanting someone to enjoy it across. you know, because you don't want someone to be hurt with, unless if that's not your fucking intent, right?
I absolutely agree. The problem is I have such a big mouth, I tend to hurt people without realizing it.
Oh, dude, trust me. I'm on the shoe leather diet myself.
Yeah.
But now for my personal pick for my favorite out of the series, Final Fantasy VI.
That's actually the next one I'm playing. I'm going to be playing the DLCs for 15. Then we'll be getting into 6. I'm so insanely excited to finally play 6. I've heard so many good things. I want to play this so bad.
Part of me wants to be like, dude, get the Super Nintendo version because there's more swearing in it. But hey.
Wait, they censored the Steam version? Are you fucking kidding? Of all places, Steam would censor
that shit? No. It's not Steam that did it. It's after the original release. They went, we're changing the language here. So all future remakes and stuff has less swearing. Not no swearing, less swearing.
No, oh, censorship, I don't get it. Anyway, yes. If it's... Okay, this is the one time self-censorship. It sounds stupid. You know what? This is going to open up a can of fucker worms I don't want to get into. Let's go. Let's keep talking. Yeah.
He's like, let's play on the rails. 94 for the Super Nintendo, and this is the one that was called Final Fantasy III in the U.S.
Yep.
Okay? So, it focuses on a conflict between, guess what, an evil empire. I swear, it's like Mad Libs at this point. They just changed the name of the empire, but it's always an empire conquering the world with a rebel faction. Opposed to them known as the Returners, taking a place in a fantasy steampunk-style world, the empire has acquired a great army through experiments using espers. This is where summons... The espers are your summons. This is the first one that really had this, if I remember right.
Four had them with the...
They did?
Oh, what's her name? The summoner. Okay. The Edelons. The Edelons. What was
okay,
the Edelons?
Okay, so four had them first. Okay, I did not know that because I never played four. Basically, you play as Terra and I think about 15, up to 15 other characters. This was one of the first games to where you could switch members in your party out.
What's it up to 15, eh?
Yeah, I think it's up to 15. It could be more, it could be less. I forgot to put that entire thing. But it uses the active time battle. Players can equip the espers a la Final Fantasy VIII. To where you could equip the Guardians.
I'll get to that when we get to 8. But I've purposely blocked out 8 in my mind. And I'll explain why when we get to it. So I don't remember that,
unfortunately. I have a story about 8 too that I think you'll enjoy. I think I've even told it to you, but I'll get to that when I get there. But it was really cool is that you could actually learn skills, and if you max out the skill with a certain character, even when you unequip the Esper, you still have that skill.
Okay. That's cool.
But whatever abilities that could not be taught by Espers could be used by equipping certain relics to where the more you level up while having that, or the more experience you gain while having that item relic equipped, you would learn it. That's how you, I think it's, and even certain weapon shields, helmets, and armors did that too. That's, I think it's how you learned abilities like jump and two hands and mug.
Something tells me I'm gonna have fun with 6 when I finally play it.
Yeah. 6 is very deep. Without getting the spoilers, keep an eye on Kefka because he is a dick. Kefka is the closest Final Fantasy he's gotten to making the Joker. He is that much of a nihilist.
Really?
Yeah.
He's like, it just peaked.
I am not going to say some of the shit he does, but it's fucking heinous.
Okay. Which joke are we talking? Cesar Ramon, not Cesar Ramon, Cesar Romero garbage? Or are we talking Mark Hamill goodness?
No and no. Let's go this way. You know the comics?
Yes.
Ever read Killing Joke?
Oh, yes.
To where it's like, one of my don't absolute you, favorite to where it's like, novels. Don't you get it? It doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, I gotta play 6 now. Fuck, I want to skip the DLC for 15 now.
but that's how I interpreted him.
Okay.
And if you play it, now that I've primed, you'll probably see it that way. So sorry for skewing your view, because I wish you went in completely organically. But at the same time,
Do you want me to like a game?
Yes.
just get me interested with the Joker somehow, and I'll be like, okay, yes, I like this now.
I got a feeling you want my ball cap.
What do you got, a ball? You slut, give it to me. She's got a. I'm trying to explain this to the listeners on the podcast and not the video. It's the Batman symbol, but instead it has the green ha ha ha's on it, and on the bill, it has is that the Arkham Joker?
No, it's like late 90s, early 2000s. Okay. Joker, yeah. Before they cut his face off, and the new 50.
Oh, that was a good fuck me face.
It looks like it's airbrush painted on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll send you my P.O. box if you want to send that to me, Bob.
Don't we all, Jocko? Don't we all? But yeah, it's my personal favorite. It's a lot of people's. Like, you guys familiar with, like, Legend of Zelda? Like, the fandom at all?
Unfortunately.
Like, you know how, like, one of the biggest splits of, oh, this is the best. No, this is the best. It's between Ocarina of Time and between...
Link to the Past.
Link to the Past. It's very similar in the Final Fantasy community between 6 and fucking 7. But I have a theory, right? It's just a personal theory. I have not got enough data yet to prove it true. It's not even a theory. It's a hypothesis that the first Final Fantasy game you play is typically is more often than not your favorite. And this was my first.
Okay. I played 2, American 2, 4.
Yes, 4.
First, but I only tipped my toe into it and never really finished it. But past
you never really got into it. What was the first one you really got into?
I was a kid. I was a fucking kid.
What's the first one you really got into?
Oh, 7. I was head over heels into 7. I loved it. Can I get started now?
So the question would be, is 7 your favorite? To go to Bob's point.
So.
He's yes. Like, so close.
It's a tie. That's a problem. It's a tie with 10.
10 but is mine.
Here's the reason why 7 would win.
Hold
over
up.
All of them.
Before we and get here into that.
Let
me promise like, and I'll let you rattle like, it off.
He's like, Final Fantasy going to 7.
Released on a PlayStation 1997, first Final Fantasy game with full motion video, 3D graphics, and that's where they started numbering everything by international standards. Had various sequels, prequels, and spinoffs. Go.
Okay, Final Fantasy VII, and this is why it would beat out all the other, it would beat out 10, but just barely, because it was the first time pixels ever made me cry, ever. I didn't cry to movies, I didn't cry to books, any type of stuff like that. I was just never that type of person. I played Final Fantasy VII. I fell in love with Aerith. Hell, I'm naming my daughter Aerith. This gives you a fucking hint. I fell in love with her. The love story, which a lot of people are like, oh, it's a bit awkward between her and Cloud.
Oh,
but
do you have the Steam version of 7?
I have all of them. I have every single one you could possibly get.
So you have the Steam version, right?
Yes.
Want to know a fun fact about the Steam version? You can glitch her back to life.
Yeah, he's like, what?
That's the only version you can actually do that shit. It's called Yuffie jumping or some shit like that.
We needed to talk, Bob, after reasons.
I'll send you the link.
Sounds good.
So on Final Fantasy Friday, you can just do that and be like, we did it!
She's alive, guys! We used the Phoenix down! But, you know, I'll get into fan theories one of these years. It's not going to be today because this podcast is already going to be long enough, but the first time I ever cried over pixels, because you're sitting there. You invested so much time into this one lady who you couldn't help but fall in love with the personality. And then you see this piece of shit with this beautiful sword come flying down.
Yeah, with a Masamune.
Yeah, and you couldn't do anything to stop him because you're under his control. Well, okay, it's not his. Okay, we're not going to get into this. But you're under the control. And you can't stop him. And she dies, quote unquote, right in front of your eyes. And you just, I remember just bawling.
I do have to agree with Rad as well. It was also inconvenient from a tactical standpoint on top of this of like, I just lost my fucking healer. Shit.
That I remember because the fight with Genova right afterwards, and you were just going, "Fuck! How am I gonna heal? What am I gonna do?" And this is and luckily potions. Me being the hoarder,
all
I
the
am.
Potions.
I already at that point had 99 potions, 99 high potions. I'm like, potion, potion, potion. But seriously, seeing that, and I remember crying, my mom banging at my door, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Nothing, mom, I stubbed my toe. Stop being a pussy and stop crying over a video game. Exact quote. My mom was not exactly a caring person.
Are you sure she wasn't your dad?
I love your mom.
Well, my dad, sadly enough, would have been the kind of guy like, are you okay? Come here, let's talk. My mom, stop being a pussy.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, are you sure your parents don't like switch bodies?
Oh, don't worry. My mom said those exact words to me one time, and I was like, really, mom? Considering you have one, you know how much abuse one of those can take? You want me to be a pussy.
But, you know, like, once again, I do agree with you, though. The first Final Fantasy you play is usually the one you get most emotionally invested in because you can't help but stop and go, wow, that was a moving experience. And then everyone after that, you kind of put up to
that. I love the materia system.
But, you know, another part of the reason why I think I personally thought 7 was so amazing is that connected with Cloud so much. A person who felt he had no friends, he had no family, he was disconnected. Sure, I wasn't, you know, exactly fucked up like Cloud was, but I felt connected to him because he was so on the outskirts. He was so thrown away. And at that point in time in my life, I connected with that so well.
Like, I was the perfect age for 7 to come out because 1997, I would have been 10, and I didn't finally get it until I was about 13, 14, which is that perfect fucking age when puberty hits you so hard that you bounce off a wall.
Oh, yeah, you're the same age as me, so yeah, same here.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to play it until I was in high school. I want to say late middle school, high school, something like that.
Same here.
And, you know, is it as deep as everybody says it is? No. Like, how deep it is a little overhyped, unfortunately. But it's just deep enough in the right ways for when you're in that time of your life to where you don't know where you're fit in. You're between childhood and adulthood, between two worlds, and you don't know where the fuck you're going yet. And it's just
very true.
It's perfect for that.
I feel it was deep, but the fact that they fucked up the ending so badly by cutting so much content, by rushing it to market, it really killed the how deep it should have been in the truth and in the very end of it all.
Now, take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt, but if I remember right, a lot of the stuff with Seth Roth and his mom and blah, 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 was actually inspired because I think the creative director or one of the directors lost their mom during or right before their production, and that was part of his
really?
Process.
I never heard that one.
That makes sense, though.
I'm pretty sure I got that from a Did You Know Gaming.
I might have to watch that one.
That makes sense. The whole when a artist is afflicted with something, they put that into their work, and it makes their work more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to art, your art is a. Here's the reason why I will always pay an artist as much as I reasonably fucking can. Mm-hmm. Where I've had an artist. To where I thought he was quoting himself, to where I gave him a fucking $5 bonus on top of it for like
Mr. Emotes.
For the emotes for BRG, because he was doing $5 a piece. I'm like, dude, you get this done fast enough, I'll give him an extra $5. Because I was his first commission to where, you know. So I'm like,
really?
When you make something, even as something as simple as I'm just sharing my debt, you're taking just a little piece of your soul and a time capsule of something of who you are in that moment and giving it out to the world. And that's why a lot of people, why they just fucking lose their shit when that's criticized, because it's hard not to take that personally. And
it is.
It's normal for, say, if you're going through a certain tragedy, for that to translate in your game. And that actually worked really well in here.
you know, maybe that's why so many people argue about why 7 was the best, because it had such an emotional attachment for them, you know, and it translated over so goddamn well. Yeah, it did. It did. It really did. And there's a reason why I still play it to this day.
But moving on to 8. Final Fantasy 8, February 11th, 1999. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 1. Fuck this game. Fuck this game. Fuck this game. You see, here's the thing. I don't normally bring out like my past strategies and bullshit that happened in my life because it's a very personal thing. But I used to go to AA and I am an alcoholic, right? When I was on my 3rd year of anniversary of being sober, I was given, my sponsor was like, hey, here, good job, here's your coin, blah, blah, blah. And gave me his PC copy of Final Fantasy VIII and said, here, if you can make it through this, you won't do a thing. Because he knew how much I hated this fucking game.
You know, I completely forgot about this whole portion of life until you mentioned this story. I'm like, oh, now I remember because of that. Yeah, Final Fantasy VIII. So many of us who loved the series, loved, you know, the original ones. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of the SNES ones or the, I played a bit, a good chunk of the NES one and didn't really like it that much because, it, like I said, it was a skeleton, but I did enjoy it. And then, you know, but 7, it was just that point, that high watermark where I'm like, this is it. I can't wait to play 8. I was so excited for 8. I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever.
And honestly, I don't know what what I dislike more, 8 or 9.
8.
Yeah, but I'll get to, when I get to 9, I'll explain myself on that.
Okay, well, okay, here's the thing with 8 for me. Mm-hmm. 7, they introduced the full motion videos. And it was, you know what? It was good.
I did like how in 8, you could move around in some of them.
Yeah, that was...
During the it was a nice touch.
Putting an icing on a turd here, man.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, it's just 7 had the cutscenes and they were just right, just enough to make you love it. But you could still, they still had the regular most points where you still had to push X to get through the text, you still had to read everything, you were stable to do things. Then came 8, and they're like, oh, they like FMVs. Fuck it. And just opened the floodgates and flooded it.
The FMVs looked pretty. I'll give it that.
Oh, yeah.
They look pretty, but here's my biggest problem with 8. And it's not the fact that you drew for magic or anything like that. Like, yeah, that was bad.
Oh, that was crappy. Awful. That wasn't bad. That was awful.
Like, no, it could still have been worse. It could have been. I don't know how.
I was going to say, give me an example here, man.
But it could have been worse. I don't know. You could have had a chance to miss draws. At least with every draw, you got something. Even if it wasn't much.
True.
And like drawing didn't cost a resource if you were over fucking powered. So there was at least like okay. I mean, it was just an additional grind, and that's why it sucked more than anything. That and on top of if you equipped a thing, if you equipped a certain spell to a certain stat, then you basically don't need to use that spell anymore because every time you use it, you become weaker.
It's been... What?
Okay, so using
I'm trying to remember this.
The Aeon system, you could... Each Aeon had a couple of stats that you could equip a spell to, right?
Yeah.
And if you equip the spell, it's like, oh, you have 99 of the spell in your stock. If you used a spell... Use that spell, now you have 98, right? That's how it works. So if you use, the more of times you use that spell, like the lower the more it lowers your stock, the less that boost is.
God, forever, I don't remember this, honestly. But yeah,
there's one thing that I did that broke the fucking game, is bigger than shit. And I cannot remember exactly how it worked, but you could equip stone and have it maxed out as far as your stock, and equip it to a certain attack stack or like status attack status effect or some shit with a certain Aeon. You hit something, it has a pretty good chance of turning to stone, even fucking bosses. You petrify everything, you win the fight.
You know, when I'm finally forced to play through this, I'm going to steal that idea and find out which one it is.
Dude, hit me. I used to fucking write fucking shit on game FAQs back in the day.
Really? I never had enough patience to give enough of a shit.
Well, here's the thing. I used to write notebooks and stuff. Then I'd just transcribe it to a text document and upload it.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah. Like, that's I've already cool. did the work. I fucking might as well so someone else doesn't have to.
There you go. No, but it's just there were so many things that made 8 awful. But I think, I'll admit it, because 7 was such a high one.
After disc one, it's like just turned into nonsense. It was too much of a tonal shift, and the translation sucked.
But I think a lot of it was just the fact that I was so in love with 7 at the time.
Yeah,
and still this day I am, where I was just like, you can't do better than this. How dare you call this 8? I think
it's but that's more of a you than the game thing.
Exactly. I mean, the game was still flawed on so many different levels. I remember playing through it.
It's a legitimately bad game. It's
I tried playing through it. I think I got halfway through and just gave up.
Right? 13 is not a bad game. It's a bad Final Fantasy.
Yes.
It's an okay game. It's an average game.
I think if they would have named it something besides Final Fantasy, it probably would have done much, much, much better.
Like, if you turn that into a saga game, you'd be good.
Right. You're absolutely right. Thank
you. But as far as, like, it having the fantasy, the pedigree of Final Fantasy behind it, no. But on the 9, this is where I'm like, I'm kind of splitting hairs because here's the thing. I've actually beat 8.
You've never beat 9? Really? I never beat 8. I blew through 9 like it was nothing.
There's a part in it, and I cannot remember which disc it is on, because I think that one was a 3-discer.
Yep.
I think it was like in the second disc tour. There's a part where the story just stops, and it's exposition central, and it's just boring.
I'll give you that. I know. I think I might know what you're talking about. I remember I was getting a little like, okay, can we move this along?
And 8 was a lot of things, but it wasn't boring. It was convoluted and circuitous.
Okay.
But it wasn't boring. I'd rather be mildly pissed off than bored. And that's a me thing.
You know, that was the thing. Maybe I was just so into the story of 9 where I didn't get bored by. I can understand where somebody would have gotten bored. I did get slightly bored. I think it was less slightly bored, more exhausted by it. It was so much, but I was really into the story. I was really enjoying it. It wasn't amazing, but it was really decent. Very, very, very decent.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. I think 8 is a worse game as a critic, but I will put 9 in the same cap on how much I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it just as much, but for very different reasons that are much more acceptable, more palatable to other people.
I'm surprised about that because I thought 9, like I said, was incredibly decent.
Like, you know, I mean, I do like the fact that 9 introduced me to the job system. I even enjoy the job system and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like using weapons that like, okay, you learn skills from this weapon, so grind away. I even enjoyed that. It was just like,
and Vivi, come on, man. Vivi.
Gets boring. That's what kills the game for me quicker than anything else. And the entire game was not boring. Like, the first half that I played, I enjoyed the shit out of it. You know, I love Vivi's existential crisis. I love,
God.
I love Zidane's so swashbuckling Han Solo-ass ways and how he wants to be a good man, but he doesn't know how yet. I love Princess Riona's crisis of conscience. Does she do what's right for her, or right for the people?
Yep. And even, what was the Tin Man? The Ryan, guard.
I think.
Was it Ryan? He was the one that was charged with protecting the princess.
Let's see. You got
soldier. I can't remember his name.
Zendane, Garnet, Queen Braun, Kula. Yeah, I got nothing in the notes.
Steiner.
There it is. Yeah, I even kind of like the fact that he warmed up to Zendane as the story progressed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like once it hit of like all they had to do to fix it for me to mm-hmm. where I would have found it more palatable is during that exposition stint, break it up with something.
You know, honestly, and I'm going to say this quite truthfully, and people are going to take it as a joke, and so be it. That's fine. I understand why. I was on a lot of drugs back when I played 9. I mean, I was stoned out of my fucking gourd. Yeah, you know, obviously, I've moved on and I've kind of grown up. We're like, okay, how about I've had kids? It's probably time to stop getting stoned. But back then, I had no children, so it was just like game on. I was so baked. It probably seemed a lot more interesting than it really was, come to think of it.
Fair enough.
Let's just face it. Sometimes when you hit a bong, you look at a bump on the wall, and it seems really interesting for about an hour and a half.
And to be fair, from my point, I have not played it since high school. And I was an impatient little fuck then, because Quake was my jam.
Then?
Trust me, I've mellowed out.
Test that theory, Stacy. Play Final Fantasy IX on stream.
Yeah, they have a Steam version, and it was even updated.
I already own it.
Yeah,
and someone decided to be an asshole and buy me 8 as a joke. I'm like, yeah, I fucking hate you. all right, so can we get on to a good game? An amazing,
10.
Spectacular game that blows assholes out, man.
This one I remember going, wait, they're making a Final Fantasy for the PS2, and was excited. This was in 2001. Mm-hmm. This was my first year of high school when this game came out.
You're not a big fan of it, are you?
If I remember correctly. Yes and no.
Oh, you dirty piece of swine.
Like, it's one of those games to where I will play it, I will beat it, do not fucking ask me to 100% it.
I almost did.
That's a tall task. That game is a... That's a tough test, 100%.
I had the celestial weapons. I just didn't go. I went and got most of the crests.
Blitzball.
How was it? Honestly, that's the easiest thing to beat.
No, I just refused to play it because I'm just like, no.
I hated it too.
You're not gonna make me play sports.
I hated it too, but I found out just go score one goal, get the ball, and hide behind the enemy goal. And they'll just sit there and spin. Your own goal. And they'll just sit in the middle of the field and just spin and not know what to do. The AI is just that idiotic. It's wonderful. And this is on the new updated version, like that they released on the PS4 even. And it's still just...
this one.
Right? Yeah, that one right there. But you know...
Just so you know, I have 3 copies of that, right? Dude. Digital.
Nice.
The limited edition open, limited edition sealed.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think what I find the most interesting about this game is, like, when I was jumping into it, and okay, yeah, the fucking voice acting was awful, but it was heartfelt and blah, blah, blah.
I will that argue one that scene was to awful. The bone. No, that's what was, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's wonderful because people didn't look at it correctly.
What, with the laughing
scene? Yeah, hold up. Yeah. Let me get to that.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, they were just laughing in the face of adversity, and that's why, like, you know, it's kind of like I put on a fake smile.
No! Look at how wonderfully, blissfully ignorant he was. He was always ignorant because he couldn't see that nobody told him. So there he is. Yes, laughing in the face of adversity, trying to cheer up Yuna. But the thing is, Yuna knew what was happening. All he was a boy in love trying to make the woman he liked smile.
And it was beautiful super that awkward. Was.
Now, I will say this. This is the first fucking Final Fantasy to where I was like, can I get a form to change protagonists? Because, like, in my heart of hearts, Tidus shouldn't have been the protag.
I disagree with that.
This is...
Oh, come Yuna on! Yuna should have been.
To me, it was her story, not his.
You have your own one with Yuna. You'll love it, trust me.
Yeah.
Because she just always wanted to be a pop star, you know? Uh-huh.
That totally made fucking sense, Squeenix, you schmucks. All it was is, I'm sorry, Squeerix? No. Oh, okay. Your head feel better?
I'm feel good.
I'm sorry. I love Tidus. I loved him to death. I loved him as a character.
Like, no, here's the thing. I actually didn't mind him that much. It's just something about it. It's just like, you know, I think that she would have been a better protagonist in my mind. I just liked her that much.
Here's the thing. They were dual protagonists. They were like one and the same. You couldn't have one without the other. So it's really, truly a split star kind of thing. I mean, sure, yes, the camera followed him around the whole time, but could you imagine him without Yuna?
Yeah, the rest, I mean, the rest of the team. It's kind of like Sherlock and Watson. You can't have one out exactly. the other.
You could get rid of Waka and deal with it. You can get rid of the old man with one arm. You know,
Waka was so into fucking Yevon that I'm surprised he didn't start hitting the bottle.
Right, dude? I mean, there's a lot of those people you can get rid of. But if you got rid of Yuna, that game would have fell apart. So it was a split, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
And going to change
my mind.
If you want to go into spoilers a little bit, she doesn't get out of that game without Tidus either.
Exactly. Exactly. God, this girl. Fuck, 10 was so... I mean, actually, here's the funny thing, guys. Back when I was a kid, when I first played it, I was, what is this garbage? This is terrible. I don't like this.
Yeah, you had to be a little older to appreciate X.
And then I got, like you said, got a little older. I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Because I'll go ahead and tell you, like when X came out and I played it, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, I'm the same way with that, with the whole laughing scene. I appreciate the scene much more as I got older, you know? It's a very awkward scene to begin with.
Yeah. But I think that's what made it wonderful because it was, you know, like I love arguing this fact. Cause it was just so blissfully wonderful. Just Tidus trying to make this woman happen.
One of the few exceptions I made about sequels here is X2 because it's actually the first sequel a Final Fantasy mainline game had. It was weird. Like, the naming was weird. Like, if they just. Like that with the fact that they went X2, that's always kind of struck me weird. Even when they did it with 13 to 13.2, that struck me weird.
And 13.3.
Well, no, it's not 13.3. It's Lightning
Returns. It's 13.3.
Yeah, it's the third one in the series, and it's fucking weird. It's like, just, you know, okay, if you're going to do 10.2, makes sense. And if they did a third 10 game and called it 10.3, I'd be like, okay, fine, I'll deal with it, right? I don't prefer it, but I'm fine with it. But the entire, now if they went Final Fantasy 13, Lightning, you know, so and so, you know, subtitle, Final Fantasy 13, Lightning Returns, I've been fine with that. But when in one fucking sequel series you switch between the two, fuck you.
I'll give you that 1,000,000%.
That causes so much brand confusion. Whoever was in that fucking marketing department needs to be sacked and hard.
So 10-2 was so this 10-2. Wonderful.
Okay. Hold up. Let me jot out the stats. It was released in 2003, March 13th. Sure. It was for the PlayStation 2 originally and eventually went out for the Vita, Steam, PS4, PS3, yada, yada, yada. Right?
Yeah.
Now, in this one, they bring back the job system and it was kind of cool. I didn't like the Sailor Moon ass way they did it.
Wait, you don't like Wonder Woman changing?
No, that wasn't Wonder Woman. That was Sailor Moon. There would be a flash. You know during that flash they're naked, even though you can't see it.
Oh, yes. Change for me, you and I,
Speaking of Sailor Moon, here's something else they had in common.
Pain for the win.
Ah! Riku. Oh, God, what's this?
I love Riku's introduction in 10 on the beach. She's unzipping her wetsuit.
You know the shittiest part of the whole thing was? You stop and you're like, oh, hi, Riku. And then you go, wait, how old is she, Japan?
14.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's what.
You couldn't help but go, what the fuck, Japan, you sons of bitches?
Oh, no. So it's like, she's Yuna's cousin, right? Then you have Pain. Well, let's see. Okay, so how are we going to fill out our third character slot? It's like, well, you know, I've always kind of had a thing for Squall, but I don't want to like look gay. So let's gender bend that. And
you know,
that's exactly what the fuck Pain was.
Pain was just I still have no idea how she fit in.
That's all the fuck she is.
I played through that game. I lived the storyline, and I still don't get Pain. Pain is just stupid. she was just there to be there.
I have a feeling that's the first time you've heard that.
It really is, but it fits. It's perfect. And Rule 34. You're not wrong, TB Steak.
Pain is Rule 34, Squall. Like, but, you know, which is funny because Rule 34, Pain usually has a dick, which is funny to me because I'm pretty sure that Squall doesn't have one.
Can you turn off my webcam real quick? I need to go on the internet for a minute.
By the way, if you guys on the audio side hear a sound, Stacy's making mac and cheese.
But all jokes aside, 10-2, the sphere system, dress sphere, was so cool. Because it changed up the job system. It changed how the approach was. And I loved it. I loved that part of 10-2. It was so cool.
The story was crap.
Oh, I was about to say you got into the story and you got into the...
The antagonist motivation is so fucking emo. It was like, I lost my girlfriend and I had a bad thing happen to me. So I'm going to hate fuck the world to death with my giant gun cock. Fuck you.
That's exactly what it was. It was awful.
And they took the exploration out of Spira.
Yeah, it was more menu based on how you traveled.
Well, it was linear, run from corridor running.
Well, I mean, X was rather linear-ish.
It had degrees of linearity.
Yeah, X2 was far more linear, but X was linear.
Yeah,
compared to the rest of Final Fantasy.
There's nothing wrong with a linear game, right? Like, no, it's not a dirty fucking word. Like,
when it comes to Final Fantasy, it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'll even go as far as to say you could make a Final Fantasy game, maybe not mainline, but like a spinoff series to where it can be linear if you make it for the right, like how it's ingested towards like, oh, this is a mobile game. It's going to be linear.
Okay, yes.
Something on the DS or the Switch that's like meant to pick up and play and leave.
But that's still a different argument than the mainline Final Fantasy games being linear.
Well, I never said that mainline Final Fantasy games should be linear. I'm just saying linear isn't a dirty word, period. Like, having shades and degrees of linearity, even in a mainline, that's fine, right? Like, because you need to have a way to where, the last thing I want to be is lost. Like, what the fuck do I do now?
That happened to me so many times in 7 and 8. So many times.
It's like, I think 10 is where they course corrected just enough, in my opinion, to where like, okay, we're going to give you these huge zones to explore, but you know where you need to go next. But you have a huge zone to explore.
Yeah.
But yeah, the garment grid was interesting. I didn't mind that. This game was pervy in every wrong way, and not just because Riku was 14, because she was also her cousin.
She was not 14 in 10-2, though. She was 18, or was she 17?
Yeah, 10-2 was years down the line.
She was still underaged.
Was she still underage? Fuck. Well, that went every joke I was about to make.
No. Here's where it gets creepier. So they go to... You remember the... Beast tail blue fucker from the 10 party member.
Oh, Kamari.
Animal dude.
Oh, Kamari. Yes. Okay. I was so confused by what the hell you were trying to say.
I thought you were talking about Bahamut, and I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to keep on like throwing bullet points on what makes this fucking person. But yeah, like, you know how there's a scene to where they land in Hot Springs, right? And they're like, oh, okay, well, these hot springs are sacred. So instead of being, like, respectful to that and getting the fuck out, they're like, we're going to play in the hot springs. And then Riku goes, oh, I see you got it going on. Checking out her own fucking cousin. I'm from Tennessee, and even that's fucked up. Japan, the hell?
You know, Japan...
I thought I was buying a Final Fantasy game, not a fucking... Lesbian incest snuff film. The fuck?
Well, snuff, they would have to kill her, right? Isn't that what snuff is?
Trust me, there's a lot dying, mingling my faith in humanity. But yeah, I'm just like, the fuck? So how about we move on to 11? This one will be brief.
12. Okay, 10-2. Let's just all agree. It rounded up the story, sort of, and made it more convoluted. If you decide to go for the 100%, magically, Tidus is live again.
Yeah. How? And also, there was a massage mini game to where you get to make the bad guy orgasm.
I forgot about that. That was
hilarious.
Uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable.
Oh, no. I can make it more uncomfortable. Fun fact, you can play it with one hand.
Ziploc would know. Moan, you slut! Anyway, go ahead. 11.
I was like, you know, when I go through editing this, I might want to make a counter every time I make a masturbation joke.
Put it on the screen.
Just like, you hear ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Final Fantasy XI was an MMO. That's all you can say about it, really.
It was on the PS2, the PC, and the Xbox 360. I never actually played it. I do know that it still has fan servers going because there's a lot of people like myself who do want to at least play it to see what the hell it was.
It's an MMO. Like my friend Samus, she's head over heels in love with it still. She still really enjoys it. I bought it and I played it for about 2 months, went, this is not for me. And, you know, that's right when I jumped into WoW. I started playing WoW 6 months after release of Vanilla. And that's when I was like, hey, Final Fantasy sucked. WoW is so much better. Because I used to play EQ back in the day, you know. I was like, I'm going to go with this WoW shit.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When it comes to Final Fantasy XI, it's a memorial picker. At the end of the day, it's just another memorial picker. They were trying to kill WoW with brand recognition alone, and it didn't work out.
Horribly. It was just a failure. You could see what they were trying to do, but it just wasn't good. I mean, a lot of people argue me, and that's okay. I understand. And if you enjoy it, I'm not wrong. Please, folks, if you disagree with me on any of the games I've criticized so far, feel free to criticize me. Feel free to disagree with me. You're allowed to have your own opinions. I don't think you're wrong for it. It's just I truly felt 11 was a failure and a half.
I mean, fiscally it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there.
It was also a good technical learning standpoint for him for 14.
Yep.
Yeah. No, 14 was a good technical learning standpoint for 14.
No, 11 was 14 made some... There were some different things and they had to reboot it because... It ran through its own issues.
It was 14 was awful at first, and then we'll get to that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one I have played 14, a version of it. I'll get to that.
I was about to say we'll get to that, my friend.
So Final Fantasy 12. You beat this one, right, Stacy?
I refused. I threw it away.
Okay, 2006 PS2. Has a sequel on the Nintendo DS called Revenant Wings, Final Fantasy XII.
Why somebody would want to play a sequel of this piece of garbage is beyond me. Like,
it might not have the same battle system.
I fight back and forth which is worse, 12 or 8. And I honestly want to say 12 is worse than 8. And that says a lot because I really hate 8 with a fiery passion.
I mean, Final Fantasy could be this series that, like, you know, about every 4 or 5 games, they just screw the pooch.
And that would be 12.
See, I mean, I didn't hate 12. It's just much like Bob felt with 9 being boring and stale.
Yeah.
It was the issues that I had with it.
the storyline took 20-30 hours before it even got remotely interesting.
Yeah.
The battle system.
Wasn't in 12 like your main character wasn't the person you were playing for half the fucking game?
Yep, mm-hmm. That's part of it. Yep. You ended up going, oh, wait. So all the time we put into this freaking turd over here became, out the window. Don't care about it anymore. Now we're going to worry about this person. Why?
Okay.
Why do.
Game designers, if rule number one with RPGs, if you spend the first half of a game with playing as one character or them in the lead, they damn sure need to make it to the end. Because we have grown attached to them, and if you take them away from us, and I think Final Fantasy, the Square, has learned this fucking lesson from this one. When you take them away from us, like if you take them away from us for a mission, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
We get them back, blah, 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 right?
Or play, give them back, take them away, give them back, take them away. Like they did with Unit in 10.
Yeah.
Or Aerith, you can take it away. You just have to make it monumentum enough to drive you to further.
Yeah, but
forward.
Aerith wasn't the main character. I'm talking about characters.
Depends right? how much you liked her.
Like at the end, like even you know, she wasn't the main protagonist.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't the narrator. She was not the vehicle
absolutely.
For the story. Well, not the vehicle for the narration, rather.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So that being said. And that's probably the reason why she couldn't be the vehicle for the narration.
Mm-hmm. And, you know...
But if I remember right, this is a case where you play as a character for half of it, and it's like, basically, you're getting to know the world the first half of the fucking game, then you finally get to act upon the world the second half, and that's also a big no-no.
Here's the question for you, and Rad Hazard 1 from chat posted it earlier. Which do you choose? Tidus or Vaughn?
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring that up myself.
Now, because I know you want to change a protagonist for 10. Would you take Vaughn instead of Tidus? Or would you say, nope, sticking with Tidus?
I don't have Vaughn enough way. Information to answer this properly because I've never played 12.
Oh, you lucky son of a bitch.
He's like, you're better for it.
Hold up. It was either that or Kingdom Hearts 2. I went Kingdom Hearts 2.
I went with both.
Oh God. I don't know which one I'd play.
The beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2 sucked. But once you got
Kingdom Hearts sucks.
That's your
everything
opinion.
About Kingdom Hearts is awful.
See, I'll
that's your opinion.
That. Yeah.
No, it's fact. I'm joking. Obviously, it's an opinion. The first one was so bad, it ruined everything about that series.
2 has 2 major flaws.
2 has too many characters.
Everybody tells me that 2 is light years better. I refuse to believe them because I refuse to give them
as far as combat gameplay enjoyability.
Yeah, combat's better.
Yes, but it has 2 major flaws. The intro prologue is way too fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
It does drag.
An hour or so.
And the worst level in that game is the same worst level in the last one. Atlantis. It's a fucking rhythm game.
Oh, God, I hated Atlantis. And that was part of what ended up making me rage quit was the swimming in the last boss. Where
yeah,
they were like,
they got
oh,
rid
wait,
of
here's...
the swimming. They got rid of swimming. It's a fucking mini game.
That's so stupid. That's so stupid.
Like, just cut the Little Mermaid. Because there wasn't that much plot importance there.
Yeah.
But they had to include it due to a plot reason because they were in the last... Because that world was in the last game. So you had a lot of the worlds, if not all of them, last game plus some new ones.
Well, the worlds from the previous game were... much more condensed than
yeah there were a lot more
they introduced.
The hell was that?
I have no idea.
Nobody no okay. Nothing.
What
was that?
I
it sounded like a NASCAR
little...
track in your car in your like studio out of nowhere.
Mine
yeah.
I didn't hear anything.
Whatever. But yeah.
I didn't hear anything.
We're going to ignore
awkward.
It. All right,
moving
away.
On. Sorry, folks.
So, This is a game I have described to, yes, I have beat it, but it was a grudge fuck. I beat it out of spite. Final Fantasy 13. This has two sequels, Final Fantasy 13 2 and Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13. It was released in December 7th, 2009 for the PlayStation and Xbox 360. It is set in the world of Grand Pulse, above which floats Cancun. Mm-hmm. You do not get to Grand Pulse till way later in the game. And by that point, you're like, oh, everybody who like wants to like make this like counteract a lot of hate towards this game is like, oh, the world opens up once you get to Grand Pulse. It's like, yeah, but that's pretty fucking far in the game.
About 40 hours in.
Yeah.
About 40, man.
But basically, it's, you have these people, or these things called the Lassie, which are branded by the Falci. The Falci are basically, you have Falci from Grand Pulse, you have Falci from Cocoon, and they're fucking fighting each other, and they want to sacrifice everything to bring back basically the creator god. Mm-hmm. And they're all named off of the summons from the previous games.
You know, here's the thing. I remember the day that came out. There was this game store where you can go and like try out games before you bought them and stuff like that. Really cool people. I got to be friends with the owner. He came in at the radio station I was working at. We ended up talking while he was doing his interview at the station and stuff like that. He went up to his place. I was like, hey, I need to pre-order this game. This is back when pre-orders were still important because they oftentimes they didn't make enough copies.
Or even if they did make enough copies, some places got shipped less copies than others due to the demographics.
That's exactly like, it.
And by the way, quick side note, pre-order culture should fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no reason for it with digital downloads and a place to where you, like, if you live in an area to where the internet really is not that much of a thing and you have to buy physical, okay, mm-hmm. sure, pre-order the fuck away. But outside of that very exclusionary situation, don't.
Yeah, I disagree. If you know you're gonna want to, if you're gonna know you're gonna want to play a game, order it.
Here's the problem I have.
At the same time, you're like, how many times have you went, oh, I can't wait till this game comes out. Oh, I can't wait till this game comes out. And if you read a review after it came out and went, or watched a video and went, oh, shit, this sucks.
That's exactly what I was about to bring up.
I don't listen to reviews.
Well, okay, how about this? You never look at reviews before you buy a game ever?
Nope.
Really? That's actually quite surprising.
Astounding.
Yeah, like I'm not bashing for it. I'm just surprised.
Reviews about the toilet paper I'm going to buy if I ordered the shit online.
Jesus.
And I'm not
Christ.
Even joking. Cuz I'm like, "Oh, that's... this I was like, "Oh, this toilet paper, like, yes, it's cheap, but it's really crap too." So, let's
wah wah wah.
How it is. It's like, yeah, it's a horrible build.
If something I know I'm going to play, I don't.
See, here's the problem I have with pre-order culture. It encourages companies to put out bad games and to say, well, they're going to buy it anyway because of said name. So let's just put out a game, sell it. They're going to pre-order the shit out of it no matter how broken the game is when we release it. Say, Batman Arkham Knight was a perfect example where I was the last time I ever pre-ordered a game myself.
I pre-ordered that myself too.
See, I pre-ordered on PC though because I'm a PC kind of guy. I like
PS4.
See, this is where our experiences are going to differ so much.
Okay,
yours worked.
Did I tell you all the shit I had to do to get that thing to work?
You never told me anything, but
I
went through it myself.
The only thing I had to do to get it to quit crashing. This is all. This is a short list. It's a very, very short, normal list. So, on the second release of the game, I'm like, oh, okay, I heard they fixed a lot of things from some of my friends on the PC side. No, they didn't. What I had to do is download a fan...
patch?
A fan tool for it, right? To where it goes in and modifies the settings externally by going into any file and you mess with the tool to tell it to do the shit.
Really?
Then you have to disable settings once you open it up the first time. Then it'll crash about once every hour.
Jesus. I just dealt with it. Because I pre-ordered it. I got home. I installed it. I was so excited. I went on stream. We played it. And it crashed. Half the time, terrain wouldn't work. I fell through shit left and right. It was just broken as broken could be. And yeah, I was... looking at reviews and people are like, oh, it's the greatest game. It works so great. PS4. It's the greatest game I ever played. Xbox One. And like,
well, it's not the greatest game you ever played. But that's a different story.
But okay, yeah, he's being a little.
Well, you catch what I'm trying to say here, though, right?
But yeah, it's getting four out of fives, fives and eight out of tens left and right on the console side. The PC port, that thing was a fucking PR nightmare to the point to where they actually took it off of, Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed it, air quotes.
Put it back on, and it was still broken.
And it was still fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, not to be crass, it's kind of like going, like, having a really shitty ex-girlfriend is like, yeah, she cheated on me and she had syphilis. And I'm like, it's like, hey, I fixed the cheating problem and I took care of the syphilis. And I'm like, okay. It's like, then you come out, it's like, oh, yeah, now she has HIV. Oh, great. She didn't fix shit. She still has an STI.
Jesus H. Christ, Bob. That's a bit of a joke. Okay, let's do it. Let's keep going with this.
So here's the thing with Final Fantasy 15. It was a good game,
mm-hmm.
but it did not fit the pedigree for Final Fantasy 13. For Final Fantasy to be a great one, especially the first one on the PS3. That was a lot of weight that game had to carry, and it did not fucking deliver.
It, you know, that was the thing. Because remember, like I said, pre-ordering it, getting home, plugging it in, playing it, and just going, what the hell is this? What kind of crap is this? You know, what's wrong with this? Why this makes no sense? How could this game be this bad? You know, it on so many different levels, it bothered the shit out of me. Yeah, I mean, wow, Ziploc, I love you. I'm sorry, I just looked over chat here on Twitch, folks. For those of you once again who are listening to the podcast, I look over and. One of our viewers, Red Hazard, says likely got 10 out of 10 on IGN. We're talking about Arkham Knight, and Ziploc, and it turned out to be 9.2, which, big surprise, it's fucking IGN. And Ziploc comes back, you can't spell ignorance without IGN.
I am a dick.
Oh, god damn it.
Like,
here's
the thing. Like, that's just... when it comes to companies like IGN, like, the people in it are fine for the most part. Mm-hmm. Right? It's usually the people at the very top that are the problem. Because they don't... game companies don't pay for the reviews, but they pay for ad space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money.
Well, of course they don't pay for the reviews.
Yeah.
If you really believe that, Ziploc, I got a bridge to sell you about a mile and a half down the road, buddy.
I honestly believe it, but I honestly believe the loophole is they pay for ad space, and they know that they're not going to pay for ad space on a site that's giving them a bad review.
Actually, funny thing, I was there was a local.
It's kind of like payola in radio.
Yeah, there was a local thing here. I'm not going to say the name of it in case somebody from my area is listening to it. I'm still friends with the owner. I was sitting there. I was like, hey, I would love to do reviews for you. Like, go to restaurants, do reviews and stuff like that. It's like, here's the thing, man. A lot of those restaurants buy ads in our paper. Why would I want you to go to the restaurant and say you have a shit experience? Like, the burger was crap. It was undercooked. I got sick, blah, 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 and trash them and then lose their money. Why would I want you to do that when, so you're sacrificing professional integrity? Yeah, I am. I need money. I went,
Well, it's not even sacrificing professional integrity. It's like, do they have reviews for restaurants?
They have reviews for certain things, but not restaurants, because they're afraid of losing the money.
Well, in that case, well, it's not. To me,
they wanted to branch out to it, but they were afraid of losing the money.
They decided not to because it was a conflict of interest. So they kind of kept their integrity by realizing it and going, no, we'll just take the fucking ads and not do the reviews. Besides, most people...
Yes.
Like, it's a lesser of two evil situation. But it's an evil that I'm personally okay with.
I think we need to move on, because this is a topic for a different day.
Yeah.
So, we're almost there. We only got two or three, depending on how you count it, left. Because another episode, we'll talk about the Final Fantasy 13 sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 14 / Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn. Let me explain.
I've had personal experience with this, so I could also
Final
help
Fantasy
you with
this one. Final Fantasy 10 or 14 was released on September 10th, 2010. They actually shut down the servers and everything for that version. It's called Final Fantasy Legacy or Final 14 Legacy or Final Fantasy 14 1.0. And that's when they made A Realm Reborn. They took all the lore from the previous game. They do treat them as two separate games for all intents and purposes. Because they really fucking are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
Realm Reborn is more of like a full-on expansion reboot.
Well, that, and to be fair, like, with A Realm Reborn, like, them closing the servers and relaunching, it's like, yeah, everybody fucking lost, the world was destroyed, and the realm was reborn, and they actually put in the lore. Nice touch. Right?
Yeah.
Here's my experience with Final Fantasy 14. So I got the little keychain thing that gave you your thing so you could log in and get my 30-day trial membership when I bought the game. And fucking have the big fucking box with all the shit in it somewhere around here. Because I was like, yeah, because I had like great internet connection at the time, right? And all that shit. And I'm like, after that 30 days, I tried it for another 30 because I'm was like, I wanted it to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because payments was such a fucking problem, and it was such a problem to cancel your card, which they actually had a lot of fucking people saying that, because they went through a third-party thing where you had to buy points, then cash the points in for stuff, and you couldn't buy the exact amount of points for a 30-day trial or any fucking trial. You always had a little left over, which they actually got in trouble in Europe over.
Really?
Yes, because that was considered predatory. It was actually against certain EU things. That's another reason why they got rid of it in The Realm Reborn. But they actually released an official apology, closed it down in 2011, put the shit in beta. But yeah. This game, as it is now, is good from what I've heard. I haven't played it because I don't play subscription-based MMOs.
Okay, I do. I played the original. Are you a WoW player yourself, or are you a 14?
I've played Star Wars Republic. I tried WoW. I never got into it.
Yeah.
Realm Reborn, ESO, Arcage.
Arcage was
Wildstar.
Oh, the death of that poor game. That game had such potential.
It really did.
Died. But yeah, anyway.
Jack and Daxter as an MMO.
Right? I remember playing 14 before it was reborn, and it was rough. It just didn't feel right. You're right about the payments were shit. I don't remember too much of that, but I remember it being rough. But I remember just playing it. This was not fun. It was just broken to hell. Things just didn't work right. I came back for Realm Reborn and gave it a second chance and just loved it. It's so freaking good, but calling it a Final Fantasy, I have a hard time because it doesn't feel Final Fantasy.
It's a WoW clone with Final Fantasy
trimmings. Exactly.
Dressing. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is I know plenty of people that play it. I have watched people play it, and I think, and like, I'm missing the hands-on experience. But if anybody's like, "Hey, should I try it?" I'm like, "Yeah, try it. Fuck, yeah, like, try it for a month, and if it's your thing, go for it." If you have the disposable income, of course.
Yeah, it's similar to the way ESO is not really an Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But, you know, my suggestion, watch some people's streams. Well, I'll try it someday. Yeah, but I kind of want to go in with a group of people, and that's where I'm stuck.
That's why I don't play the game, because I don't have a group of people that are still playing
so
the game.
So, one day.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It is interesting because, you know, I've heard it's very customizable, and you can fucking have some fun.
Oh, it's a blast. I love it.
So, Final Fantasy 15, November November 29th, 2016, PS4, Xbox One, and finally Windows. And now, recently, they have mods, a mod installer through Steam for the Windows version.
Yeah, I saw that pop up on my last day of playing it. I was like, fuck, I could have had Cloud's Buster Sword the whole time.
Right.
No.
Here's one thing I want to know. What do you think is going to happen first? Them making and releasing the Final Fantasy VII remake? Or modders just making it in Final Fantasy 15?
Honestly, modders making it, in all honesty.
I could see that happening, and you know what? I would count it as a Final Fantasy VII.
I'll save my opinion for until after E3 has actually passed here.
You too, huh? That's actually something I was saying. I wish we could have delayed this until tomorrow after fucking Squeenix was done, you know?
Because I did see a leak of what Sony's conference was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it really? Might have been on there.
I do not trust
leaks. I do not trust rumors. I do not have time for them because I have been burnt too many times.
Presentation. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if it's on there or not. I'm just saying. I've seen a leak that has it on there, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't believe it.
And I'm pretty sure they're going to at least touch on it. They'd be stupid not to.
Here's my question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Do you even want the remake of 7?
Not really. Especially in the piecemeal, the way they're going to now.
If this is the only way I'd want it.
If it's piecemeal, no.
If they kept the original battle system and then go with the Kingdom Hearts battle system or the Final Fantasy 15 battle system, which is pretty similar to each other, but 15 does it better. If they didn't go to that, and if they gave us the full story for 7 at the end and didn't cut it off like they did with the original release of 7, then sure. Otherwise, I'd much rather see what happened between 7 and Advent Children. You know, what was Cloud doing? What was Tifa doing? That type of stuff. I would say Prior, but there's Crisis Core, so you don't need Prior even.
I'll go one step further, because I agree with you on everything, because I refuse to even call it a remake. Mm-hmm. It's another game. It's not Final Fantasy VII. It's Final Fantasy VII, a name only to me.
I mean, it's going to be the same story we already lived. That's the biggest thing. Do we really want the same
game.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Like, okay, let's say if I make a Tomb Raider game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the reboot didn't happen, right? Alternate universe mm-hmm. thinking here. And I made it to where the story was the same as the first one. The levels were kind of the same. They got changed a little bit. But because I changed how the abilities you get, how you act upon the world, and a lot of things that, to me, make a game, I don't count it as a remake. That is more or less, like, this is the Final Fantasy VII reboot.
Mm-hmm.
More than a remake. Like, this is a little too far past remaking or remastering a game. Because even then, there's the difference between remaking and remastering. Remastering, you upscale the graphics. Well, you can't do that when a lot of stuff was, like, hand-painted pixel art, right, for static backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But because they're like, yeah, we're getting rid of the entire battle system where you turn it and using the same battle system that we're putting in Final Fantasy 15, It's not the same game.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's the same story, but the actual game part, the parts that you act upon directly, it's not the same. But that being said, Final Fantasy 15, I fucking love watching it. I want to fucking play it, but I gotta get something stronger than a potato to run it.
And it's...
Thank you for that, host, Daniel.
It's a great game. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's like I said, it's one of those things that brought back, holy shit, Final Fantasies can make me feel again. This is the first time I felt for a Final Fantasy since 10. And that's way too long. That's way too long, man. It's, ugh.
You know, I find it more challenging. And when a Final Fantasy can do it, I tend to like it more. When a Final Fantasy can make me laugh.
Excuse me.
When it has that moment where you have a character that just says something so fucked up to another character because they have that sort of camaraderie to where, yeah, I just bust out laughing because that's some shit I would say to like Zez. And there's a lot of that in 15.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah,
I guess
like the character interactions, because, and this is a thing that I even pointed out during your stream, that like, you know, a lot of people that are like, well, can there be females in this is like, yes, there's females in the game, they're just not part of the main party because this is a story about brotherhood.
Yeah, that's exactly it, hence the boy band jokes. I mean, I guess I could see where you're saying that it makes you laugh, kind of. I don't know, man. It's such a weird game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get me wrong, I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It's so much fun. But
honestly, God, the combat system, from what I can say, it's like The Witcher 3 and Final Fantasy had a kid.
I could see that. It's just, I don't know if it made me laugh nearly as much as it made me feel. It made me feel a lot. I laughed a lot, but for the wrong reason. Like the cup of soup, the cup of noodles made me cackle because it was such horrible brand placement. Same with Coleman. It was just terrible, awful, overly obvious brand placement. That's made me cackle. You know?
Right now, like what made me laugh is like the Twitch Prime thing you can get right now as far as the car. It looks hideous. Oh, yeah.
It looks ugly. It
really I like the, I don't know if you guys seen the meme of them driving the car and Sephiroth is running on the side. Or whatever it is, or a rock or something.
Oh, God, I remember that one. That I cackled watching that.
Speaking of boy bands, I actually know of a group out on the internet to where it's called the Big Bad Bosses, to where each character picked a video game persona to represent them, like Gerard Khalil, aka The Completionist, is Bowser. Alex Fasciani is Robotnik / Eggman.
Really?
Satchel is fuck, Ganon. And I cannot remember the last dude's name, but he's Sephiroth. And it's a, you know, parody joke, let's have a good time album. So they chose the musical stylings of boy bands. And it's fantastic.
Sephiroth singing in a boy band. I mean, just.
Yeah.
Take everything I love and hold sacred, just shit on it, Bob.
So I was like, if you want to talk about Boy Band Simulator, I think Seven did it first. I mean. Oh, I'm pretty sure that if, like, I gave Cloud an MP3 player, the first thing he would download is Teenagers by My Chemical Romance, okay?
Oh, shut it. Just
Teenager scared.
Shut the hole that's underneath your nose. I don't want to hear it. No. God damn it.
Okay.
The problem is he's right, folks. He's absolutely right.
We need to wrap up now.
To wrap up, I have three questions to hit everybody with before I give Stacy the floor to self-promo his ass off. Okay?
Yay.
It's actually kind of one giant question in a way, but out of this list we went through, what Final Fantasy game would you pick that you're like, hey, this, if you've never played a Final Fantasy or an RPG, go with this one. If you've never played, if you want, if you're interested in which one, to where like, hey, if you've never played a Final Fantasy or any of that, this one you need to stay the fuck away from. And lastly, it was like, which is one to where it's like, okay, once you get your feet wet and you're no longer new, this is something you need to eventually get to.
Okay. Who wants to go first on this one, man? I think this is going to be a convoluted list no matter what.
For me, it comes, there are multiple levels. Like, for introduction, I think you need to start with new. So that'd be Final Fantasy 15. Four stay away from would be 10-2. To eventually play would be 10. For me.
Yeah, for the introduction, it's a two-way split between 6 and 15. Because 6 is, yes, it can be complex, but it's not overly complex, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of borderlining it, but 15 is also really good for introductions as well, because they did make it with that sort of mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the taglines is, it's a Final Fantasy for fans and new people alike, so...
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that made me smile a lot when I saw that.
And because they actually... Because it's not like, oh, we're just saying it to saying it. They actually...
Yes, right.
So yes, yeah, right. We are doing the fuck, marry, kill for Final Fantasy.
That's a different discussion. Had the discussion. That's a different discussion.
Well, let's see. I kind of.
Probably I'm gonna get in trouble.
Here's where we're supposed to be. Yum.
But for the like one tour, it's like, hey, stay the fuck away from this. I don't care how much you like Final Fantasy. The weakest one, even for like a Final Fantasy, like even 8 has those, like, listen, it at least has the, this is what you shouldn't do for a Final Fantasy, but the same can be said of 13, and there's more enjoyment in it. So I'm going to have to go with 8. Definitely gets the axe between those two. And lastly, for the one towards like, once you get your feet wet, but it's not fucking as jump inable as the others, but please fucking get around to it eventually. Honestly, that's where 7 lies for me.
Like, we're gonna be similar, yeah. Go ahead, Bob. I didn't mean to cut you off there, buddy. I'm sorry.
But yeah, but for my fuck, marry, kill, let's see. Pretty sure I'd fuck Sephiroth just because I want to see if I could get away with it. I would marry Tifa because, you know, she can cook. She's great.
Really?
She's got huge tits.
That's a big factor for me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, no, think about it. Like, she looks after Barrett's kid. Like,
true.
She runs a bar, so she's fiscally responsible. She defends her friends, and she has huge tits. That's the whole package right there.
Mm-hmm. Fuck and Tifa, for the kill, marry Aerith, kill. Who is the female in goddamn 8?
Renoa?
Whoever she is, kill her. The teacher chick.
Either her or the guy with that had the same tattoo that what's his face that Mike Tyson had before Mike Tyson had it.
Oh, Zane? No, Zach? Not Zane. Zach, was it Zach?
I think it was Zach.
Oh, that guy hate me. Oh, I hated him so much. Oh, I hated him. But yeah, definitely I would say start off with 10. It's so easy to get started with 10. Okay. It's a story that you can't help but get feels for. And wait a second.
The thing about 10, I'll throw this out there, is I think 10's kind of a slower pace. So that's, it's kind of harder to a little get into it.
I was thinking it's because it's a slower pace, so it's easier to follow on with the story. But you right; it's harder.
Well, I'm thinking if you're introducing somebody to Final Fantasy, that's the slower pace might not pull them in.
Well, the slower pace does have one benefit, though, that I think you're underestimating, because if you're already having to try to learn all these systems and stuff, and trying to go with a rapid fire fucking plot, that might be a little bit too much. But if the plot's slow and the systems are complex, you can actually get away with that.
Get the sphere grid in 10, where people look at, you know, and never seen Final Fantasy before, and like, what is this?
That fucking sphere grid is about as intimidating, is just as intimidating as Path of Exiles.
Yeah, they're not really complicated, but if you just look at them,
yeah, they're not complicated. Look at them, intimidating.
Right.
I'll give you that, but I would say 10 to start. To stay away from me all eternity would absolutely be 12, which is all surprise. I'm sure Rad from chat's going, oh, he's going to pick 8. No, 12. Just take that, burn it, sacrifice it, just throw it in a volcano, never look at it ever again.
Yeah, the only 12. Reason why 12 didn't hit my list is because I've never played it, and I refuse to judge a game I haven't played.
Good. Just don't decide to never judge it. You'll thank me later.
Unfortunately, I'm going to turn around. That's part of my bucket list, is to go through all of it.
You're going to turn around, and you're going to turn around. That's going to be Bob's favorite game once you get done playing it. Watch.
I'll disown him as my friend. I'm joking, folks. I'm going to do that to him. But once you got your feet wet and can handle it, I would definitely say 7, and all 3 sevens. Crisis Core,
Dirge. Dirge Cerberus.
No, God.
That's actually a 7 game.
I know. I've.
No. I think what he means is Final Fantasy. It means Crisis Core.
7, and then Advent Children.
And even the mobile game ranks above.
I was gonna say Advent Children. Those are the three you have to get into.
Japan only mobile game for 7.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How was it?
From what I heard, it's actually pretty good. You play as the guys in the black suit, like the three unique ones.
Really? You play as the Turks, huh?
Yeah, you do play as the Turks. It explains what the fuck they were doing between that in the background.
I want to get this now.
I'll see what I'll find a way to play it and send the instructions over to you.
Thank you very much, my friend.
You know me, when we don't get something, I'll find a way to where we can still get it. I know Final Fantasy has that fan community, and I can rely on that. But yeah, Crisis Core, I definitely would suggest that, because I've been wanting to play it for a long time. Like, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I heard that it really helps with the backstory of Zack. And it's fucking heartbreaking.
Yes.
And it has what I call the Red Dead Redemption type ending, to where it tricks you for just a second thinking that you can actually pull something off that you can't.
That's exactly it. Like, exactly it. The only reason I don't say 15 as the very first starter one, and obviously I could say Mythic Quest to be a troll, but no. But it's because it just... Me as a seasoned Final Fantasy player, it felt like such a huge departure from the rest of the Final Fantasy series. I would have a hard time saying, try this, and then go try 7. What the fuck's this turn-based shit? It was it's good, but it's a systems. Difference. Exactly. It's good, but it's just a separation.
Here's my way of looking at the two battle systems with no hands-on play, mind you, so take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
You take the ATB system from, like, 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
The active time battle. And you use that system as a lens to push a very action-oriented combat system like that you would have in, like, say, The Witcher through. And it's through those merging of systems to where it's more of a modernization. But and yes, it's an RPG, but now it's not just a turn-based RPG. It's no longer that. It's an action RPG, which is its own separate genre, has its own pros, cons, pitfalls and praises, and that's a whole nother thing.
I have a hard time seeing any ATB in there whatsoever. It's just hack and slash. Like the magic is so clunky, it's almost impossible to use. So I never used it once.
Want me to
well,
tell you,
once, because that's how I found it was clunky.
There's three things I'm going to point out to you, and that's where it is. Every action in any video game that is action based has three things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Startup frames, attack frames, and cooldown frames. If you're a fighting game guy, you know this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the ATB is. Like the is like they programmed it towards like, oh, you perform this action, it has a startup, it hits, or it has an attack animation, and whether it hits or misses, right? Then it has a cooldown period before you can hit that button to attack yet again.
That I have a hard time saying any of the Batman Arkhams have ATB in them, but because that's the same type of thing that Final Fantasy 15 had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, fun fact, right? The Batman Arkham game, Batman Arkham Asylum was originally going to be a rhythm game.
Oh, God, thank Christ it wasn't.
No, seriously, that's what they modeled the combat after, and that's why it's actually really good.
A rhythm game, though?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're supposed to be making a Superman
kinda
game
like
in the
Donkey
vein of
Konga,
it. But...
You know? You'd have stuff going into this stuff, and then Batman would just bounce around and punch people or get hit if he fucked up.
I'm so glad it wasn't that, because I would have never played it.
Yeah, but it was a good basis for it, because, when I play Batman getting into combat, I'm like, okay, attack, 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 one, two, dodge, attack, attack, dodge, attack, attack, counter, two, three, attack, attack, dodge, attack, and, like, I get in a pattern and a rhythm.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm guilty of the button mashing. Just kill.
Oh yeah, button mashing will get you fucked up in that game. But Stacy, you're 5 minutes of fame. Please tell the people who you are, what you do, where to find you, and all that other wonderful stuff.
Yes, please frame people for 5 minutes.
All right, God, this is the pressure. I can't do it. Hi, folks. Thank you very much for giving me a chance here. My name's Stacy Krueger. It's been great spending a little bit of time with you. You can find me on twitch.tv/StacyKruger, StacyKruger. You can also find me on Twitter. I do have a Facebook. I can't remember the name of it for life of me. My mods run it for me. I leave that god-awful site alone. You can also find me on Instagram, under the same exact name for both Twitter and Instagram. I would love to chit-chat with all of you guys. You can find also my Discord information on both of those sites to come chit-chat. On Twitch, I'm a variety caster. You can catch me playing a little bit of everything. Every Friday, I do Final Fantasy Friday. And every Thursday, well, except for right now, because I'm in the middle of a playthrough of Fallout 3 into Fallout New Vegas with the Tale of Two Wastelands. It's amazing, dude. I miss it. Fallout
that is a wonderful mod, by the way.
Right? It's so good. But I'm in the middle of that. Otherwise you'd be seeing every Thursday a Throwback Thursday game. But yes, please come by, check it out, see what you think of the stream. Despite the fact that we are variety, we do play a good chunk of Minecraft, Dead by Daylight, Escape from Tarkov. I've recently gotten to Overwatch. But there's always variety, because I would go nuts playing the same game over and over and over again. And say you don't like video games that much, you can get a talk show. I actively do a talk show every morning, which is called Morning Coffee with Stacy. Which, what is Morning Coffee? Do you sit down with an agenda every morning and say, all right, Jim, James, we're going to sit here and talk about this? No, you go, hey, how's it going, guys? Sip your coffee and start chit-chatting. But say podcasts are more your style, since you're listening to this, you can find my active podcast, which I'm doing right now, which is called The Odd Pod on Spreaker.com. Go to Spreaker.com/StacyKruger. You can find all my podcasts right there. You can catch my streams between 8 a.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. That was a long.
It's a whole spiel, ain't it? Now, it's like self-promotion. It's exhausting. Speaking of which, you can find this podcast live at twitch.tv/TheBlockBob. And also, I stream Monday through Friday, 7 through 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I haven't been doing that lately due to personal life getting crazy, but I'll always make time for this, because if I don't at least get the podcast in, I'm losing my fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Also, you can find my lovely co-host Zez over at twitch.tv/the_Zez. What the hell you been doing here lately, man?
Soma, Dead by Daylight, because Dead by Daylight's new 2.0 updates coming out on Tuesday. So I've been spending time back in that.
Soma? You know, it's so good. Sorry, dude. I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
This planet's been taken over by psychotic robots. Yeah, this is going to go great.
Oh, yes. Just let the singularity happen under the sea. It's like Bioshock and Terminator.
Under the sea.
Everything's deader. Down where it's weather. Happy you can be. Wait, what? But you can also find this on Premiere at twitch.tv/BottleRocketGaming, where Zez streams on Wednesdays and I stream on Thursdays. And, of course, you can find this in a more pared-down, edited version, because this is going to be 3 hours long. I'm turning this into a part one, part two.
2 hours,
to make it digestible, but it will be live within in a normal time. This will actually be live on June the 29th. So, yay. And lastly, of course, you can find this on the iTunes or podcast.com, or you can find the RSS feed by going through iTunes or through podcast.com and use whatever podcasting app you feel like. I'm Ziploc Bob. That's Stacy Krueger. That's the Zez. See you guys next time.